I have some thoughts on my heart this afternoon. I pray the Lord will help me to share with you all. We were talking earlier today about the salvation that Jesus died on the cross to purchase for us. And mentioned how some people might get the idea or maybe have an impression in their own minds or own hearts that it wasn't completely for them. You know, they're not really that bad a person, haven't really done much wrong. And thank God for that. And my thought to go along with that is thank the Lord that they haven't done much wrong, and because I believe that that's a blessing of God. But the reality is just as easily, they could have just as easily been that one that is the gross sinner, you know. Yeah, but for the grace of God, there go I, I've heard people say, you know. And so it could have been much different, you know, for you or for me. And I'm so thankful for what God has done and how He's delivered us all from a fate or a condemnation or a pit of where our sin could have led us to. And so now I want to take it from the perspective or from the viewpoint of we're free. It's different now. I was thinking of that song, how it says, "It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now." And I'm not a singer, but I get to going on that one, and it's like, yes, thank the Lord, it's different now, you know. And so now that we're walking in this newness of life, we've got, you know, like the sunrise is before us, and it's just a new bright day, and it's glorious. What do we do now? Now what? You know, we're free, we're cleansed, we've been forgiven, redeemed, we've had our eyes open to the glorious reality of God and His goodness and His mercy and all the promises in His Word of what He wants to do. And now what? And so one of the things I was thinking about is, And I want to preface this in saying that I'm not talking to you all, and I'm talking to me too. And as it comes out of my mouth, I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you and anybody else that wants to be in here today. Anyone else that's going to listen to this, it's to all of us. What is driving our life? What is driving you in life? And I'm going to repeat it because I want us to, I'm not asking for anybody to raise hands or give an answer to me, but I want us to be sincere within our own hearts. And I have to do this. What is driving me? What is my focus? What is my ultimate purpose in life? What am I living for? And being able to honestly speak to ourselves. And if we feel like, you know, maybe I'm not completely balanced to where I need to be. Being able to see that and say, Lord, help me, you know. That my focus is right, my purposes are right, and the energy that I spend is spent in a beneficial way. We have abilities to do things. I mean, we can do a lot of things. What are we using those abilities for, that energy for? So I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to read verse 1. It says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." When I think about this scripture, I don't know what the day in and day out life was for them back then, but it just amazes me that a multitude of people could follow Jesus around. I don't know how long they followed him around, but I mean, his ministry was, they say, you know, 3 years or 3.5 years or whatever it was. But they're following him around, hearing his teaching, watching the things that he's doing. And I have to think that those people set something down or put something aside in order to have the ability to be able to follow Jesus around. And one of the things that I think about in that is that the scriptures is talking about the Messiah coming. The anointed one, the deliverer of mankind. And he's here. In the scriptures, in this point of time, he's here. That's an opportunity that nobody before that had, and nobody after has had. It's a window of time where Jesus is, I mean, you're able to hear the words directly from his lips. If there was a time to not be too busy, that would be the time. To be able to sit at his feet, to hear his teaching, to hear his word, to spend time with him. I think of the 12 disciples and how they were able to have intimate conversations with him and have time to spend with him. I wonder if you could ask Peter and Andrew and James and John, do you regret dropping your fishing nets to go follow Jesus? Absolutely not. I could imagine them saying, absolutely not. It was a moment in time for them to be able to sit at the Messiah's feet and listen to his teaching, his counsel, his word, to grow and to be close to him. Close to God, essentially. An amazing, amazing time. And they did that. And I think about it and I wonder to myself sometimes of all of the people who didn't do that. And the opportunity that they missed because they were doing something else. And I can imagine if you ask those people, like maybe Paul of Tarsus, who was doing something else, if he was following Jesus, was it with the intent to trip him up, right? Or to contradict what he said or whatever. But after becoming a believer and being washed by the blood of Jesus, I imagine I could think of him regretting that he didn't spend that time to follow Jesus while he was there. Multitudes of people followed him out of a desire to hear his word and to experience the things that he was doing. Verse 19 in the same chapter. "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." an opportunity in time that he obviously felt was very valuable. And he confessed with his mouth, "I will follow you wherever you go." You know that these people were driven. They had a drive. They had a desire, a purpose. And that purpose was to hear Jesus speak and to see His works. They were willing to drop whatever it was that would hinder them from that opportunity. And it was just a small frame of time for them to do that. And then Jesus was on the cross, and then they were left to do that and have that fellowship and that communion in the same way that we have it today. And it's not to diminish what we have today. But I wonder within myself, is if I were living in that time and I was conducting my life during that moment in time, where would have I been? What would my decisions have been then? Would I have been willing to set aside some of the things that were very important to me, very necessary even some of them, in order to be able to hear Jesus teach and to see the works that He did? Or would I have been one of the ones that was busy about other things and missed an opportunity to sit at the Master's feet? A moment in time, maybe a small opportunity. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Verse 39. Well, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home, or into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." An opportunity. They had Jesus in their house. And Mary, out of a desire to draw near to Jesus, it was like she was on the edge of her seat to hear what he had to say. A message of hope, of promise. She set everything else aside in order to be in front of Jesus. And Martha, troubled about many things. And it's not to say those things weren't necessary or needful. Everybody, they needed a meal, maybe, you know. But what did she miss in that opportunity or that moment of time? Not to be retrieved again. But Mary has chosen that good part. And I ask within myself, what is driving me? This life that we live is but a moment in time. And if you really look at it within the scope of eternity, it is not very long at all. And yet we can be consumed and busied by many things. And although we're in a life where there's a lot of necessities and needs, what's important to us and what is driving us. Because we could very easily miss out on a unique opportunity. And it's not just in this life alone, but we can miss out on an eternity with God. Because we're so consumed and so caught up in the things of this world and the things of this life that we miss an opportunity to be with Jesus forever. In Matthew 4, Jesus calls His disciples. Matthew 4 and 19. And He saith unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw other two men, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. And there's others, you know, the Matthew or Levi doing his business, you know, taking in taxes or whatever. Jesus calls him and he just gets up and goes and follows Jesus. An opportunity in time. And they just dropped everything in order to follow the Lord. What will we do with the opportunity that we have? You know, I was thinking about the message earlier today, and I was talking about how when you know what God has done for you, when you know the blessing that He's put upon your heart, upon your life, what He's delivered you from and freed you from, the reality of it, to really visualize it and know it in your heart that you were condemned to die in hell. And He lifted you up and brought you out of that. Set your feet on solid ground and gave you a new life and a new path in life. And the joy that comes when that realization is acknowledged within your mind and in your heart, it produces a desire in you to want to serve God, to want to follow Him, to want to hear His voice, to want to walk in the steps that He has set before you. It does something to us. And that is essentially a driving point in our life. But I believe that sometimes through the everyday life of things and, you know, the decisions that we have to make, the needs that need to be met, and I believe that we can get desensitized to our relationship with God and lose essentially a lot of that drive for our relationship with Him. And it hinders us as we continue to go forward in that. And it could eventually be to our detriment. I'm not trying to say that everybody has to quit their jobs and be full-time ministers or anything like that, you know. But I do believe that every one of us needs to have a vision of serving God and Him first. In all of our dealings, in all of what we do, in every decision that we make, acknowledging Him, and He'll direct our paths. Or basically making Him the center point of our decisions and what we do, making Him in the forefront of our actions and our interactions with others. You know, rather than interacting with people with our minds and our thoughts being consumed with business dealings and how maybe this person can help me in my business or I can help them in their business. But being of a mindset primarily of what can I say that would help this person know Jesus or grow in their relationship with the Lord, or how can I be a testimony or a witness unto God in this interaction? And so, to me, that is being driven by our life in Christ and His kingdom and His purposes and His plans. It's not seeing everything as being up here at a pulpit, you know. It's not even seeing everything as being at a prayer meeting. But it's in our daily lives. I miss so many opportunities in my life. And I mean, it's a shame. It really is. And I'm blaming me. I miss a lot of opportunities because I'm not thinking in those lines. How many people could I have just being ready to give an answer for the hope that is in me? Giving glory to God for what He's done in my life. Just a small phrase, a small testimony, you know, giving thanks unto the Lord. I remember one day a guy and I were eating lunch. We were on a job and we went to have lunch and we went ahead and had prayer before we ate. And somebody came up to us during the meal, and he commented about it. It's like, hey, you know, I noticed you all prayed, you know, an opportunity. Something very simple, something that we do very often. And yet it became an opportunity to glorify the Lord and to give somebody hope or a promise, or, you know, you can use that. But if it's not what's driving you or me in my daily life where I'm considering that. And there was a time when I was much more driven this way. And I will say, and I'm not blaming my family, okay? I love my wife and children. But there was a time when it was just me. And I didn't have a hope or plans of future because I didn't know that I had one. But I had God. I had the work that He done in my heart. I had a testimony, a promise that I could share. And they belong to you too. Do you know that you can have this? Do you know what God's Word says? Do you know what He said? He said He'd forgive you of your sin. Did you know that? Did you know that He can give you a new life, a new purpose, a new hope? You know that it doesn't matter that you're in prison and maybe you'll never get out of prison. You know that doesn't matter because He said that He's got an eternity awaiting for you. You might die here, but I tell you what, how thousands and thousands of years in eternity of bliss, that sounds pretty good, right? And when you're in a position like that and you're looking at all day in prison, and it sounds pretty good to have an eternity with God, right? But I didn't have anything else really to cloud my mind or my attention. I remember praying to the Lord, Lord, give me an opportunity today to speak to somebody. Give me an opportunity to share the good news of a risen Savior. And you know, the Lord would do it. But you know that He's doing it now. But the difference was then I was envisioning that opportunity. I was looking for it. I was looking around. I was driven. I was on a mission. I was walking around. I was looking at people, thinking of, you know, where's this opportunity going to come from? Where's it going to happen? And next thing I know, I start talking to somebody, and I'm like, Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is it. This is the opportunity, you know. Wait for that door to swing open, because it will. The door is going to swing open. And trusting the Lord to bless it and use it, and you go away, and it's a glorious thing to be used of God. To be of help to somebody. Let's go to, I guess it's Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. This is essentially the story of Legion. I don't want to read the whole thing, but man that was sick in his mind, cutting himself, lunatic. They couldn't control him. They chained him up to try to control him, and they couldn't. I mean, he broke himself loose. Jesus comes on the scene and heals him. And he's healed and in his right mind, so much so that, I mean, this guy was so notorious that when the people that knew him saw him, they were like fearful of who Jesus was and the power that he had. And they asked him to leave. And in verse 18 it says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." So I think about all the times where Jesus said, "Come follow me." You know, he was talking to somebody and they'd tell him what they were doing or what was going on in their lives, and he would just tell them, "Hey, come on, follow me." And here this man is saying, "I want to come with you. I want to come with you, Lord. Let me come in the ship. I want to follow you." And in verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not." Was it because he did something wrong? Was it because Jesus thought, you know, this guy's crazy, we don't want to let him in our boat? He was healed. The Lord delivered him. He was very much in his right mind and a new man. It's different now. I can imagine that man saying, "It's different now. I'm not the same man I used to be." And Jesus said, "No, don't. You're not coming with this. I'm sorry, brother, but..." He says, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." I imagine this man's life being consumed in doing just that. And wanting everyone to know what God had done in his life. And the purpose that he had, the drive, if you will, to do the will of God and to get that message out. What is it all about? I mean, really, what is it all about? You know, we're here, we get born, you know, we even get saved. Maybe we live most of our life in the church, raised that way. So much so that it's difficult for us to know when we got saved. Because we've just been doing it all our life, you know. It's just been this way all along. But what's the point of it? Do we get saved just to live unto ourselves? Is it just to live a good life and raise children and then we die? And we go to heaven? And I'm not diminishing that. I have that. I'm appreciative of what I have. And I'm not asking anybody or myself included to give that away. But just as we said earlier this morning, there's more to it than that. Our lives are much more meaningful than that. The purposes that we have are bigger than that. We're not just trying to get by and somehow scrape it in. But there's something very big going on. Something very big. Something very meaningful. I think of young men. I just came back from a business seminar, and there's young men there. They have aspirations. They have energy. Vision. And they're channeling that stuff into a business. And it's really, I'm not taking that away from them. It's great. They're doing very well for themselves. But I can't help but to think of what that same young man can do, being channeled and using that same energy and that same power and that same drive and that no quit attitude, that we're going to conquer vision for God. I've been around people that, hard people. They were caught up in illegal stuff. But they gave themselves so much to it that, they were a force to be reckoned with. But you know, when they got saved, they were a force to be reckoned with for God. And I just think of the energy that we can put into the things of God. What can we accomplish? What can we do? It's not to leave the other undone, but it's to essentially take advantage of the opportunity that we have. It's a limited opportunity, and use it for the greatest good. What's more important? 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, or eternity? Not just your eternity, but the eternity of those that you're in contact with and you're connected to. I think of these young mothers. They wonder, what is my purpose? What great things do I get to do? And I wonder if they really understand the impact of what they have in their hands. Young minds that are willing to and able to hear and to receive and the great good that can be poured into them and the use that they can do with that. Any pastor would love to have five people that would just sit down and absorb the Word of God and have a desire and just give us more, teach us, show us. What does it say? What does that mean? And how does that work in my life? How can I apply that? And what can I do for the Lord? And it's a dream. What is our drive? And what is our purpose in life? What are we taking advantage of in our opportunities that we have? There's a scripture that... Well, I'm going to skip it. Let's go to Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33. Verse 14. And the Lord tells him, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. This is Moses responding to God. Now, this is an amazing thing that God is talking to Moses, and Moses is talking back to God, and God is answering Moses, and they're having a conversation in this chapter. Okay? And Moses is telling him, Lord, if you don't go with us, then we don't want to go. If you're not going to go with us to this land of promise, then we don't want to go. We only want to be where you're at, or where you're blessing us, and where your presence is going to be. Verse 16, For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I think about those people that as a multitude followed Jesus. And ultimately their desire was, show me your glory. Show me your magnificence. Think of the disciples and how they were drawn into Jesus. They sat and absorbed the things that He taught them and showed them and instructed them in. And to me, every one of us needs this drive, this purpose to know Jesus. Show me your glory. Or essentially, reveal yourself unto me. Teach me, instruct me. Draw me near unto yourself. A desire to really know God. And not just think that, oh, well, and I don't know that this is guaranteed anyways. That you're just going to enter into eternity and you're going to know everything. I don't know. He makes us work for it now. You know, I think about this opportunity that Moses had, and you know that God wasn't just forcing Himself on Moses and forcing a revelation upon him and forcing intimacy with him and forcing that communion. You know that Moses sought that out? He had a desire to know God. He had a desire to communicate with the Lord. He had a desire to be with Him, to be instructed by Him. It was driving his life. And I want it to drive mine. Show me your glory, Lord. Teach me. Draw me in unto yourself. Make that intimate time with you very valuable to me. Encourage me and strengthen me because I need it to face the things that I'm facing in the world today. I need to know you intimately and so that I can tell others about you. How can you really give the full plan of salvation to somebody, the opportunity that they have beyond just the forgiveness of sin, unless you know it? And unless it's a realization in your own life and in your own heart, how can you share the goodness of God and the promises of His Word if you don't dig deep into it and gain that understanding, that knowledge yourself? Not just because somebody else taught it to you, not because somebody gave you chapter and verse and expounded on it to you a little bit, but because you have heard it from God. He spoke to you in His Word and made it come alive to you, that it just opened your eyes and you saw the reality of what His Word has said. When you transfer that off to somebody else, it's going to produce something in their life. It's going to change them. They can do whatever they want with it. They can push it under a rug if they want to. But when the Word of God goes forth, it has power and it will accomplish what it goes forth to do. It will penetrate hearts. I think of Stephen and how he spoke the truth to them and it cut him to the heart. Whether you want to hear it or not, boom, here it is. This is what happened. You are his betrayers and murderers. And it was like, what? They were cut to the heart. It penetrated and they attacked and killed him. But I have to believe that it wasn't everybody. They were cut to the heart, and I think that some of them were cut to the heart to the benefit and maybe found God through it. Lord, help us to have you be our vision and our hope and our purpose. We're here because you created us. We're here because of you and the desire that you had. And help us not to get caught up in our own desires and wills and agendas and skip what you have for us. Help us to serve you, Lord. Help us to know you intimately and to desire to know you more. Help us to realize that we don't know everything about God yet. Just because we got saved and just because we came to the realization of salvation through Christ and His blood and how we can live free of sin, there's so much more to know about God. There's so much more that we can learn and draw near to the Lord in. To have a personal relationship with Him similar to that of Moses, that we can speak to God and He can speak to us. And we can get answers for things that we have questions about in our lives, where we can know. Not like, well, I think this might be a good idea for us. But know. Nope, the Lord is in this, and this is where He wants us. Just that, like that, to know it. That is God working in your life and in your heart, and it comes through us searching it out. He's not just going to dump that on you. You got to seek it out. You got to desire it and want it more than anything else. Because it is more important than everything else. And through that vision of serving God, that vision of walking in His path and in His directions, it's going to bless the rest of it. It's going to bless your home, your family, your children, your job situations, your interactions with other people. It's going to flood all of it. And it's starting with you getting intimately related with the Lord and His purpose for you. I said it before that not every one of us is going to minister, but some of us need to. Somebody's got to. And the Word of God says that how will they hear unless someone preach? And so how are they going to know that what they're being taught is wrong? Or how are they going to know that they're trusting in a lie? And that they're being told peace, 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 but there is no peace. How are they going to know that unless somebody tell them? Unless somebody love them enough to say there's a better way. Jesus did more than that. You can have more than that. And they can get a hold of it and find the deliverance that we found in Christ. But it's going to come through us being driven to serve the Lord, to want to be a part of His plans and His purposes, His agenda, His reasoning for all this. To be a part of it. And that's a big deal. And so I ask that you all pray for me, because I want to be focused and driven for God and His purposes. I don't want to miss all those opportunities that I spoke about before, where I fail to utilize that open door. I feel like I had one last night. And a lot of good it does me to think about it the morning after. Right? And I don't think it's the Lord beating me up and saying, there it is, you're get in the corner. Put your face in the corner. But it is like, son, you could have said something. You're like, you're right, Lord. Help me to see it sooner. And be willing to say it. May the Lord help us to be focused and intent on what He wants to do in our lives.